We are in a series called My Friend Jesus and His Weirdly Mutant Body, and we have been blessed. Actually, Karen, could you pass those over to... So to open up the conversation tonight, we have a little bit of a skit.
Hat I'm wearing, and I thought I could explain it to you.
Oh, there was this great sale at the farmer's market for nectarines. They were only $2 a pound.
Really?
Yeah.
That is unusual. $2 a pound for nectarines?
Yeah, yeah.
I love nectarines.
Me too.
So what happened is the governor of Texas gave me this hat. It's a thank you gift.
Are they white or yellow nectarines?
I don't even remember. I was so excited about the price that I just kind of didn't notice.
I really love nectarines.
Yeah.
Can someone pass the, pass the pepper, please? Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, there are nice prices at the farmer's market for nectarines. Anything else unusual?
Well, not that I know of.
So what happened is the governor of Texas was in the midst of a fire, and I saved his life. And he was riding a mechanical bull, and suddenly...
Nothing new this week for me. Just same old, same old.
Same.
Yeah.
Just a normal, boring day. Can you pass the salt?
If you have ever been in a situation where your heart was heavy about something, where you've gone through some form of emotional distress, it's a good chance that you, in that moment, felt invisible. Because the thing with grief, of any sort, whether that's because of the loss of a person, of a loved one, the loss of a marriage, or the loss of a dream. The thing with grief is that when you're experiencing it, it's the only thing you can see. I mean, it's so absolutely apparent to you that it is on your mind all day, every day. And yet, the people around you, they can't see it. They can't see it. So I wanted us to spend some time today looking at some things that the scriptures tell us about how to care for one another in seasons of grief. Because here's the thing that's true for every one of us. Either today you are grieving about something, or someday soon you will be. Either you are currently grieving today, or you know somebody who is. It's true for all of us. And so I'd like us to take a closer look at... some scripture passages. Throughout the series, My Friend Jesus and His Weirdly Mutant Body, we've been looking at the passages that use the phrase one another. What does it mean to love one another? So I want to take a quick look first at the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus as part of a longer conversation about what it means to be rooted in your identity in Christ. He says, be completely, what's that word? One more time.
Humble.
Humble. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. And then what's that phrase? Bearing with one another in love. So there's a sense in which we are engaging with one another, we are putting up with one another, and we are doing it with an attitude of humility. Humility. Just a few pages later in the book of 1 Peter, a man who had to learn a few things about humility the hard way, is writing to churches as a much older man. And he's writing to them, preparing them for a season of suffering. The church was starting to endure some real hardship. And it was writing this book to let them know what it means to live faithfully in a time of testing. And he says this: "Finally, all of you be," what's that phrase? "Like-minded." Like-minded. What's the difference between like-minded and same-minded? See, people who are like-minded can be following the same mission, can be about the same person, can be about the same attributes. Same-minded are people that think exactly the same on everything. God never calls us to be same-minded. He does call us to be like-minded. Look around you a little bit. Look around you a little bit. There's a church, when it is healthy, has lots of diversity. Some are older, some are younger, some have been walking with the Lord for many years, some are just starting their journey with Him. A church, when it's healthy, has diversity in it. Different socioeconomic levels, different educational backgrounds, different races. We are a reflection of the kingdom of God. Diversity is good. But even in the midst of diversity, there can still be unity. We can still be like-minded. We can say, well, I might not drive the same kind of vehicle as you. I might not make the same kind of income as you. I might not like the same kind of music as you. I might not dress the same as you. But I have the very same Savior as you. And who's that? Jesus. I don't need to think like you in order to care about you. I don't need to be exactly the same as you for us to fundamentally be on the same page on the important things. So it says, be like-minded. Be like-minded. Be sympathetic. What's sympathetic? Try and understand what somebody's going through. Yeah. So compassion, sympathy, love one another, be compassionate. And then there's that word of the day again. What's that word? Be humble. So there's two things that go hand in hand as the Bible talks about what it means to love one another in times of grief and suffering. There's empathy and there's humility. These two building blocks. Empathy is when we imagine what it might be like to be that other person. If I was going through what she was going through, if I was going through what he was going through, what might I feel? I want you to do one more thing. So look around the room again and identify somebody that you don't know very well. You might not know their first name or you can't see their name tag. I want you to, for just a moment, don't stare at them and be creepy and anything, but just take a little look. And I want you to imagine for a moment, what are they going through right now? What brings joy in their life? What has made their heart heavy? What are they passionate about? See, as we cultivate that curiosity about one another, that's your empathy muscle. That's your compassion muscle. What is it like to be her? What is it like to be him? And as we get to know one another's stories, because here's the thing that's true about that person you're staring at the back of their head, they have a story. They have a story. What's it like to be him? What's it like to be her? So empathy says, I'm going to imagine myself in somebody else's shoes. While humility says, I don't know what it's like to be them. And the two go hand in hand. I'm going to imagine, but I'm also going to always remember that I don't know. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. See, that wasn't so hard. Was it? Most of you said that. Some of you, it may be too hard for you to say it at all. I don't know. And that's a really important thing to remember when we're trying to provide comfort to one another. Because here's the thing about grief, is it can be really, really tricky. We don't know what somebody else is going through. We just know that it must hurt. Sometimes it's maybe even easier when there's something really tangible like a death, because everybody has permission to be sad, and we kind of know what to do. It's even more difficult with things like divorce, where the pain is just as great, though different. So we don't know what to say. We don't know how to engage, and so sometimes, sadly, we say nothing at all. And the person that could be receiving care from us feels very invisible. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or we forget about humility and we do something else that can also be very harmful. We start saying really, really ridiculous things because we go, I just need to say something. I need to say something. And so you say things like, oh, you just lost your aunt. I know just how you feel. And then you start telling your story and you go on and on about your story and it's no longer about them and you forget that you don't actually know how they feel. Or we say really silly things about God sometimes. God must have needed another angel for his choir. That's why he took your son. It's horrible to say stuff like that. Horrible. Because here's the thing about the will of God. You don't know. I don't know. We seek to follow it as best we understand it. But you don't know. We can trust that God is good. We can trust that God is sovereign. We can trust that God is ultimately in control. But you don't know why. So don't pretend like you do. That's not going to help anybody. So some good things to say to somebody who's grieving. I'm sorry. I care. I want to be there for you in any way I can. And though sometimes we have this really deep temptation to say more, don't. Don't. Don't say nothing, but don't say too much. Here's a couple of things that I've found to be helpful. First, just make sure that you express care. Make sure that you recognize the pain. I imagine it really hurts. I imagine that your heart is heavy. Just want you to know that I'm thinking about you. Remind each other that it's okay to be angry and wonder why. Because here's one of the things we sometimes do about God is, you know, if you've been a Christian for some time, you think I've got it, and the person that you're caring for is upset because of a loss of some sort, a loss of a dream, a loss of a marriage, a loss of a loved one, a loss of some catastrophic sort. Is we think we need to defend why God allowed that to happen. And so we say these things to try to guard people from being angry with God. But here's the thing that you need to know. Can I see your eyes for a second if you're able to look up? God is really big. And he doesn't need you or anybody else to defend him. You can be as angry as you need to be with God, and he will still be God. And he will be okay. Anger is sometimes the most valid human reaction to a situation that from our perspective seems incredibly unjust. You don't need to have all the answers. In fact, you won't. So it's okay to be angry. And it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. So don't offer the simplistic answers, but do seek to be there. I would like to help. sometimes it can be helpful to offer something concrete. I would like to bring you meals. Is that okay if I do? I'd like to help with rides with your kids. Is it okay if I do? Here's my number. So I'd like you to take a minute because, you know, I've shared a few things that I've learned over the years. Oh, here's one more thing. I just want to, just before I set you to talk to each other about this topic and hopefully deepen each other's capacity to express care. It's fine that when somebody has experienced a major loss, it's usually 3 months to 6 months after that loss that is the hardest time for them. Because that's the point where most of the world has moved on. Not because they don't care, just because life keeps going. And so that often can be the point where somebody feels the most invisible, where they feel the most vulnerable. So something that we can do for one another, as we bear one another's burdens, as we love one another, is to use your calendar. Plan to care. Care doesn't just have to be a response, like it hits you over the head like a stray baseball. I mean, care can be something that you actually intend to do. I imagine that this month is going to be really hard for him. So I'm going to plan to send a note to say I'm thinking about you. I know it's been about 3 months, so I'm going to send her a text right now and say, you remain in my prayers. So the people that you care about don't ever need to feel invisible. So that's a few ideas I've had, but you've got more, and you've got good ideas. I'd like you to talk to somebody close by on this question. What types of care have you found helpful when you have been emotionally suffering? So take a couple moments and talk to somebody about it. How can we grow in care for one another? We wrap things up. Does somebody have an idea that you heard in your group that you said, that's a really good one. I want to make sure that other people hear that. What are some good pieces of advice you heard from each other? Bradley. Pray. Absolutely. Yeah, we're Christians. Duh. That's what we do. Hug. Yes. One more? Listen. Thank you. Thank you. All right, church, let's do something about this. Okay? Pull out your dumb phone. There's somebody, as you think about the topic of grief today, there is somebody in your circles of friendship that right now you know is grieving. They've gone through a hard season. I want to challenge you, as you pray, is to right now send a text, send a Facebook message, do something that says, I care. So maybe a word or two, like, I care, or I'm thinking about you today. Or a phrase sometimes helpful is, peace be to, and then name the person, their memory. Remembering you. Just something really simple. So we're going to pray, but we're going to pray, and we're going to do some digital mission right now, and we're going to apply what we're learning. And if you have been wise enough to not bring your smartphone to church, you can just pray, and that works too. But the point is, we don't want to just hear this; we want to do something about this. Because just imagine what would happen if the people in your circles of relationship knew how much you really cared. And just imagine what would happen with our church if we got really good at doing this for one another. So we are a church in a bit of transition. You know, we are no longer a small congregation, but we're not a mega church either. Which means we're just big enough that far too often people fall through the cracks. Every now and again, you hear people saying things like, oh, I wonder why he's not at church this week. oh, I wonder why she's not here. One of the good reasons is that they haven't actually heard from anybody here that they're missed. Just imagine what can happen if, as a local congregation, we get really good at this. God, expand my capacity to love. Expand my capacity to care. So we're going to pray, and we're going to do some digital mission. Let's do it. Lord, thank you that you call us to love the people around us, to bear one another's burdens, and to do so with empathy and humility. And Lord, there are people in our circles of relationship and people in our congregation that right now, their hearts are heavy because they've lost someone or maybe something that they love very, very dearly. Lord, help us to love one another well. And so right now, even in the stillness of our hearts, we want to lift up a name or multiple names of people that right now we know they're hurting. We ask, God, that you would bring comfort. We ask, God, that you would bless. Lord, hear our prayers as we lift them up. Ashley, Becky, Denise, and Lord, may we not only be hearers of your word, but may we be doers. Help us, God, as we seek to love one another. Amen. Send. And amen.